Welcome everyone to the third episode of Talkboard, hosted by me and myself, Jamie and Justin. Today we have Charis, the Charis team, who make Packix. So we have Andy and Adam.
Hi. Hello.
So I guess we should get started, really. The first thing is, how did Charis start, and like, what are the background? What's the background of it? Like, why did you like make a repo?
Okay, so I guess Adam can answer with his Charis, and then I'll answer with like Packix.
So the origin of Charis was actually a Mac app store that kind of never happened. So one of the features of the store would have been to have a payment platform. So that actually did happen, and that's how Charis, as we all know it now, started. So that was 3 years ago now, I think. And Charis, I started it out with just a few sellers before we made a bit of a major change to merge with Packix. So it was always intended to be small, just focused on quality. That's pretty much it.
What are you trying to say, Adam?
Yikes.
What?
Trying to do the conversation.
So when did you decide that it would be like an iOS repo rather than a Mac App Store?
So this was with the release of TypeSetters Plus. So I thought it'll work for this, you know, like I just need to make a few changes really, and it'll work perfectly for that purpose. So
perfect.
That's how it happened.
Wrong word, Adam.
Wait, so I mean, I'm guessing that the Mac App Store part has been discontinued, right?
So, yeah, the Mac App Store never really happened. In, like, it's a bit more
I see.
Experimental.
Okay, so
it never
it was like
released.
More like planned, but then it ended up being iOS after all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that sounds it's pretty cool.
So let me give a rundown on Packix, and I'll also hit some fits on Charis that Adam missed or lied about.
Exposed.
My first repo manager I made was a work of WEIPDR CRM, which is by, I forget. That was originally written in PHP, and I rewrote it for personal use. But I didn't like updating the code base because it was really messy and I wasn't a fan of it. So then I decided I'm going to start from scratch. So I first wrote a little PHP one that me and Laughing Quoll used for a little bit. We both made some sales through it. It was really only meant for the two of us. It had like no UI. It was all man. It was really, really crappy. Then I decided, okay, I'm gonna actually make a good one this time. So I made a post on Jailbreak Developers outlining what I thought a good repo should really have. And someone told me it was too ambitious and that it wasn't gonna happen. So haha, jokes on whoever said that. So yeah, I started writing Packix about probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. Released the initial version one. Me and Laughing Quoll were the only ones sold on it originally. Then I started privately inviting other developers like Frost, the creator of Dots, and William Babb, which makes Boxy 3. So then it started to get bigger. And then so I decided I'd really open it up to other developers, but then I came to the realization I hated this code base too. It was completely crap. I didn't like maintaining it. So then I started writing Packix V2. V2 wasn't a total rewrite of V1, but I would say about 80%. That took about eight months. And during that time, I had visited Australia to visit Laughing Quoll, and I also ended up meeting Adam, which wasn't really planned in the beginning. We sort of just met up in Sydney, I believe. And that's when the first initial discussions happened about merging. Though it was really funny because we kind of just said it as a joke when we were in Sydney. But then once I got back to the US, I was like, maybe we should actually do this. So that's how that got started. V2 was really where Packix started becoming more of a professional thing, because now we're doing sales tax and everything. We're using Hashbang, which is a real company, and like everything. So that was really cool. We started doing fees properly. V2 still has a long way to go. Like the review stuff, like the review UI needs work. I want to add back ratings and back, and I just need to create the front end A again for it. So that's how it started, I think it's doing relatively well now. I'm really happy with their performance of it, which was a big thing, because version 1 would go down a lot, as people know. Basically, if it got any traffic, it would just poop out. So that's
it. Okay, so when did you, like, actually decide to rewrite it? And, like, what time, like, around what time did you make the post on Jailbreak Developers, like, for example?
Well, Jailbreak Developers was for V1. Like, V1 had most of the stuff, but it was really written badly. Like, it wasn't the way I really wanted it to be. So I would say about now, it's been 10 to 11 months since I started the rewrite of V2.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so that's a good point, right? So what types of changes did you have to make, like, in a brief overview, like, not really a technical way, explanation, sorry, like, to packets? So,
originally, everything was built on the concept of the database model. So the packets model, all the methods were on the packets model. It was really ugly. I wasn't using any, like, controllers, and, like, my routing was really crappy. And I was using next.js for the front end, which is basically render in the browser, which was really slow and not performant. So I moved to using handlebars on the server side. And because I have varnish in front of it now, all those are catched. So once you hit a package depiction, once, as long as nothing has changed in the back end, I won't have to re-render that for, like, a day. So the actual load on the actual backend server is really low.
Yeah, so you basically switch from, like doing UI work on the client to the server.
Yeah. And then now I'm using controllers for, like, everything in terms of, like, the back end. I'm not just storing everything.
Yeah, like, it's just, I'm just trying to explain it, like, people that aren't, like, developers.
Wait, so how did you solve the issue of it going down all the time, like, in V2?
So varnish is a big part of that, actually. Because the actual number of requests that actually the back end and not varnish is really low. So it's not dealing with a lot of load now in the first place. And also moving to more of an asynchronous type thing, making a lot more safer code, like doing more checks and not just having it go throwing exceptions and crashing the server all over the place.
Yeah.
I found your post on Jailbreak Developers, by the way.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to find.
I think I kind of had a go at Andy there in that post. I think I saw it. A long time. I saw it, like, a couple months ago, and I was, like, right at the top, and I thought, oh, that looks bad.
So, actually, this is interesting. When we do the merger, it'll be using practices back end. So, joke's on you, Adam.
Yeah.
Wait, so is it, like, when, for the mergers, like, first of all, how is that going? And second of all, like, is it more of, like, just the Cherries packages and developers getting switched over to packages, or is it really, like, a merger of, like, the code from both repos to make a new one?
Moving the packages and devs over.
Okay.
I told Adam at a certain point not to bother adding all these features to chars because I already have them in packages V2. It was the point that we're both writing code that we're gonna.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Wait. So yeah, how's that going? Like, what do you guys have, like, a roadmap on?
The roadmap is Andy needs to finish all of the migration code for converting all the chars data models to PackX ones.
Okay.
Get on that, Andy. Come on.
I will add it to my to-do list of a billion other things I have to do.
When ETA?
Right? I work on PackX about 4 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
And that's on top of my 9 to 3 to 4 job, depending on what time I want to leave.
9 to 3? That's like 6 hours.
They're very lenient with him. Too lenient.
No, they are. Varnish
need some great discipline.
I love it. Like, there are days where I've just actually, when I had to do the first PackX payouts and I had to finish writing the payout system because, like, it was a good day, they actually gave me a day off just to stay home and work on it. And they also gave me 2 days in the office, which is really nice of them.
What? That's actually crazy. The only day off I got from my job was to write an exam.
Can I actually, the talk about merging packets and charge, like, that leads us nicely onto the next question. So why did you guys actually decide to merge?
So the reason we decided was Charis had a lot of the legal stuff figured out, the package didn't. And they already had that all sorted and done. Charis had an accountant, a lawyer. They had all that. Package didn't have any of that. Charis was in official registered business in Australia and everything. Pakistan didn't have any of that. So, and also they had a support person, another person named Adam, and I hate doing support, so I've sort of offloaded that to the other Adam the merger. So, yeah, there's that.
It's a good system.
Yeah, so that's why I think we decided to merge. And Patrick's had a lot of the features, and the thing that Charles really didn't, it had a lot of that figured out. So I think that's why we decided to merge. Adam may have a different view on this, so I'll let him.
Well, from my perspective, like, I kind of really freaking hated Andy in the first place, because he would always...
Feel the love.
No, because you would DM me all the time asking me, how do I do this? How are you doing
you
that? Like, wow. Well,
that's totally on you.
True, but I was being nice. So when he suggested, oh, you should actually, I'm in Australia, you should actually come and visit me. Like, I thought, you know what? Let's do it. And... like, you get to a point where it's like, you hate someone, but they're also really freaking switched on. So, from my perspective, like, as much as Charo's had its direction, Andy also was really freaking switched on, and that's a really good thing.
Like, what are you trying
to say? I can actually vouch for what Curb was saying about, like, Andy keep contacting Curb, right? But the thing is, he literally would reverse engineer like Charis and Dynastic. Charis, definitely.
We both know very well about that.
Dynastic, I was actually more of testing the security because
No,
so here's the problem. My problem is if like one of the repo has like a big security problem, that's gonna lose users' trust in general for the general platform. Like there have even been pirate reports I have reported vulns to.
Oh, those pirate repos are annoying.
Actually, yesterday, 2 days ago, I was looking at, there was a new repo that's doing, like, payments and stuff. And I reported a vulnerability in terms of they can get DDoSed on a certain page. Like, it can't even handle 100 requests a second. It would totally take down the server. So I reported that.
And they ignored you?
No, he said he would work on it. I don't know if he exactly knows how to fix the problem, but, you know, not my problem. I just have to report it, and then I give them 90 days, and then...
Like Cydia.
I mean...
Maybe that's worth it.
Speaking of pirates, have you guys ever had, like, pirated packages, like, submitted to Pakix that you've reviewed?
Yeah, we have. And they've been...
How do people think that that's going to get through? I don't understand.
There's someone... I guess this leads well into one of the talking points of what's the worst package you've ever received. There was a package whose sole purpose was to brick the user's device.
Oh yeah, but that was advertised though, right? Like they said it on the description. This bricks your phone.
Yeah, so obviously I didn't accept it. Like, no, not happening. But actually, then I was complaining to I was in Florida with Laughing Quill recently on vacation. And I was bitching at him about how he wasn't doing his moderation job. So he went in and accepted all the packages because I was still building.
Oh no.
So luckily I had admin hid all those packages anyway, just in case anyone did something stupid like that. So that's nothing actually happened. No one ever saw that. But yeah, I literally screamed at him through the wall about what an asshole he was because he was in the shower.
I can confirm that's what Andy's like. He's not bluffing.
So what do you think about the current state of iOS package managers? Because as you know, there's Zebra, Cilio, Installer 5, which I think...
Okay, so...
Lime.
I think Installer
that 5 doesn't exist.
Probably the worst of the four. I haven't even bothered even touching that, looking at that. I've never used Zebra, but I've heard okay things about it. I like Cydia's like web view stuff. I think that's better. I think it's slightly more stable. But one problem I always have with Cydia, and this is obvious because Sarek wanted to run his own business, that you can't integrate third-party payment stuff nicely. Like, we always had to do hacks for like linking everything. Cydia has that built in. like in a standard API that anyone can use. It's really nice. So that's what I really like about Twilio. I also like that Twilio can pull the icons from a web link instead of inside the deb. But I'm still not a total fan of native depictions. Because I'll be quite honest, one thing with Twilio is our ad revenue is basically nothing from it because of the way AdMob works. AdMob just isn't good for getting revenue. Because to really get good ad revenue on AdMob, you have to use those interstellar ads, like one that take up the entire screen, like play a video. And we're obviously not going to do that to users. So yeah, we probably make about 2% of our ad revenue on Twilio and the rest on Cydia. Not because necessarily Twilio gets less traffic, it's because we get less ad matches from AdMob.
Okay, that's just giving me a hacky idea actually on fixing AdMob in Twilio. So we can discuss that.
You can't use a AdSense WebView, that's against their policy.
Oh yeah, but who cares about their policy?
We've actually had policy violation.
When we get banned.
Yeah, like last month, because we didn't have the ads.txt thing on our URL, we got like shut down for like a week and a half.
Oof. Wait, do ads like contribute like significantly to like your revenue?
In terms of our total profit, no, but they pay the server bills and the SendGrid, which I mean, I guess I can talk about how much we make on ads because they don't really care. We make about $600 to $900 on ads a month.
Okay.
So that pays the server bills, SendGrid, Cloudflare.
Just to add on to that, like our profit margin is not very huge on sales.
Yeah.
Like you might think 25%, like wow, that is so much. Why are you taking
but
this?
We don't actually even get 25 cents on a $1 sale because you have processor fees and then we have to pay other things like lawyers and accountants. Adam, are you okay with me saying like what's like do you have like an average range of percent that we actually get to take home on a sale?
Sure.
So we make about 12 to 14% actual profit on each sale.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's also not great.
It's not it's not huge. You'd think like we'd make it up
roll
in volume.
It in dough.
We sort of make it up on volume, but the volume's not huge. Like, we would have to be really massive. And, I mean, at the point that we get massive, we can get even better deals just, like, directly with Visa and all them.
We've been trying to be in talks with Braintree to use them instead of Stripe and get reduced fees, but that's still ongoing because Adam has to friggin' email them back.
Why was that me on Atlas?
What?
Oh no, it's for Jamie. When we were working on incorporation, I was the one who had to work on all the paperwork.
Oh yeah,
because Adam is the one that's legally registered under the thing. I can't even if I wanted to, I can't have those conversations.
Oh, Justin, don't forget to do that thing I sent you yesterday.
Which one again?
I'll send it you again. How about?
No, just because like there's a few things that I have to do.
He can't say it publicly, which is why he's telling you to check your messages.
There's nothing in my messages.
No, I've actually forgotten. Like,
must have not been that.
No, it was important. I've just forgotten what it was.
No, like I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember what it was either. But like, it's in the chat somewhere. It's in the chat.
Yeah, I'll find it in a bit. Anyway.
Oh well.
Yeah, so what's the next talking point, I guess?
Well, actually, I was going to say about Cydia. Do you not think it has, it's a bit outdated, today? Because he still supports iOS 2, right? And
I think the code base is outdated, for sure. That's not maintainable in terms of code.
Yeah, and you personally found, security issues with Cydia and Cydia Store,
was a Cydia Store, yeah.
Sorry,
solved that problem. Shutting it down, but not the way I wanted that to go. But
didn't you find didn't you have an XSS in Cydia as well?
Oh yeah, I had XSS in Cydia, but he was able to fix that server side, so that wasn't an issue. But the biggest issue was that payments one, where you could execute a tweak purchase just by the user visiting a depiction if they were logged into Cydia. That was the biggest issue.
The thing about Cydia, yeah, it's really old. I'm trying to be really careful with what I say because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but like City, it's just old. Like,
yeah, you tell
if,
me
to if it was written 10 years ago, day, Adam. That's different, Andy.
So speaking of old, what was your first jailbreaking experience?
Mine? My iPod Touch second gen. iPhone was 3. Wasn't Jailbreak Me, was it?
It was, because I had one
too. So. Yeah, I think it was Jailbreak Me.
Yeah. Because the big thing was it worked on iOS 4, but also worked on iOS 3. Yeah. And as much as I jailbroke iOS 3, I realized like everything was going on iOS 4, so I had to figure out, how do I update this thing? Oh, I have to download iTunes. What the hell is iTunes? we got
what is that? And
the next generation will never know.
I was just about to say that. The kids growing up these days, they will never know.
Poor kids, they'll never have to do with iTunes.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know, because I get some nostalgia from iTunes, man. Like,
I'm afraid at some point they'll drop Windows support.
Would not be surprised with that. I mean, I'm a Mac user, so.
I mean, I have Mac. I actually haven't used Windows in like a while. I took it off my daily driver laptop.
I have it as a separate partition on my MacBook, but like I never use it. Like I have like 100 or 200 gigabytes allocated to it, and I never use it.
I used to have half a terabyte allocated to it. Now it gets zero.
Oof, yeah, no, I have like it's. Hang on, let's find out. Storage. Okay, yeah, I have like 158 gigabytes given to Windows for some reason, and then the rest is for Mac.
Justin, that's such a random number.
It's really? Disk utility or whatever wasn't like it's a slider, and it wouldn't let you just type in a number. It's silly, but
I mean. I just pulled up Pakix's numbers for like volume and stuff, and in this month so far, how much revenue we've processed is only 47,000.
Only.
That's still pretty good.
Only.
Yeah, but if you think about getting Stripe to give us micro stuff, we would need to double that and do everything through Stripe.
Yeah, this has been a huge ongoing problem. It's hard for us to really push things further. We want to give possibly smaller. We want to reduce our cut, maybe.
But we need to get reduced fees to do that.
Yeah, like, so we're pretty much. The thing is, we're pretty much spreading. We're spreading the load of that amongst all the purchases. So even if you pay with PayPal, we're pretty much using that to compensate for the fees on the Stripe payments.
And actually, we have a rule in our back end. We have to make at least 8% profit on a sale minimum. So let's say someone sells a $1 tweak and Stripe will probably hit us with, I believe, the 33 cents in fees. We'll end up taking, 40 cents out of that. I'm not good at math, but yeah.
So where does the majority of the cost come from running Pakix then?
Server fees and accountants, probably.
What percentage would you say? Accountants.
Server fees are about 700 a month. So percent-wise, I mean, this month, not counting that we're splitting this in half because we are donating half of it to a charity, is we've done... I gotta scroll down, hold on. That was the wrong way to scroll. Where's this month in my things? See, this is just a raw Elasticsearch query. I really need to put this into a dashboard.
Andy's really good at Elasticsearch. I'm freaking hopeless.
Yeah, so this month we've done 5.8K profit so far. So that doesn't count ads because I never include ads because ads just go to paying server bills and that's it. But I would say Adam probably knows more than me how much the accountant costs and everything. And even just taxes. So here's the problem. If we're still holding money for a developer and a tax season ends, like a year, we have to pay tax as if it's our like money on that, and then we have to then later next tax year give proof that that was paid out, and then we get that back. But we have to wait an entire year, so that was really expensive.
Yeah, it was a bit of a
mistake
on our side.
So using something like Stripe Connect or like the Braintree alternative, that would solve that for you, right?
Not if we're still holding it. Not if it's paid.
Yeah, but you're not holding the money.
But we do.
With Stripe Connect, you don't. With Stripe Connect, for example, you don't actually hold the money. Stripe does.
No, technically, if you have the option to pay it out to your bank account, you still own it, according to tax laws in some places.
Yeah, but you can't. With Stripe Connect, you actually can't pay it out to your bank account, though. Like, that's not how it works.
Okay. But the thing with PayPal is, PayPal, even though all the money was held in PayPal, we still had to do that. Yeah. So that sucked. I don't even know how much that was. Adam still has to tell me.
Actually, yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah. I would like to have like numbers on how the business is running. That'd be great, Adam.
So,
nah.
Have either of you actually ever considered giving up on Packix or Charis? And if you have, what?
Oh, this is a good one. Okay. About every week.
Wow.
Good answer.
So, no. Okay, here's my big problem. And I've actually tweeted about this privately on my private Twitter where I complain about how my life sucks. So, the issue is now that Packix is so big, I can't drop it even if I wanted to. Because, like, too many developers depend on it.
See, if you added transfer support, you could just transfer them to us.
Hey, that has to be
or you could just shut down and leave everyone in the dark.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Cough.
That was a Duke. I'm sorry.
We've actually both offered, sorry, several times to take over a city store in terms of transferring everything, and we've gotten no reply. I think he just hates me too much.
He's a bit, yeah. He's pretty over it, and he doesn't really want to talk about it anymore. And I don't blame him.
Bit of Packix sellers, I mean, city sellers that have moved to Charis. One big one is Spring to Mize 4. That was a big one. We have another one upcoming. I'm not going to mention it because they haven't done it yet. But they've been selling tweaks on City Store since like 2015, and they want to move. So we're currently in the process of doing that for them. By process, I mean they need to get back to me. But yeah, so I wanted to give up on Packet Science mostly because it's time consuming. But in relative to how much time I have to spend onto it now, in compared to profit, maybe it's not that bad, but back then, it was really bad.
So
maybe not as much anymore.
Do you guys accept transfers to Packix from other repos then?
From City Store, because we've written all the code for that.
How about other repos though?
Get us a list of emails, I guess. For like other repos, like City, we can do all that automatically. We just need your vendor ID and your vendor secret, and we'll do everything. But
the thing is,
And that's all automated. We don't need to do any manual stuff for that.
We've tried to discourage transferring from other repos. Like, even if you hate Dynastic, like, these Dynastic people are so terrible, and you want to move to Packix, chances are we probably won't actually accept it because we would
it's
rather you not disturb the users. Yeah.
How about, so I'm not actually talking directly about Dynastic, really. Like, I was on about alternatives like URepo and crappy alternatives like...
Well, URepo, we actually have... It's funny, because I can tell when people have switched because their package identifier has URepo on it. I think some themers solely use Repo to make the devs because they don't know how to. So I think that's the biggest... But in terms of transferring from U... Usually users just gift to a list of emails and that's the end of that. Which reminds me, I don't think I support that anymore. I think I gotta ask still. There's a billion things we gotta do. It's like I like where Packix is at, but there's still a long way to where I want it to be.
Yeah, a big problem with Packix and especially Charis before it, like Originally, I was balancing it with just... Oh, sorry. let me put that another way. I was pretty much just doing whatever, whenever with Cherries, but, and there was no real deadline for anything. It came out and it was done. You know, there's no one actually depending on it. Well, some people depending on it, not a crazy amount like Packix.
So, not to throw curb under the bus here, but I'm going to. I've had several Charis sellers come to me and go, Adam takes so long to upload my new package. It's just terrible. People tell me this in person when I meet them, like the first thing that they say to me.
Was that really the first thing?
It was like the second thing David had said to me. David Goldman, the creator of Color Banners, for anyone that doesn't know.
Oh, Colorflow. I like Colorflow.
Yeah. So
Colorflow's nice.
I had met with him at his work. He gave me a tour one day. And yeah, that was one of the first things he complained about.
I'm sure he had that in his mind. Constantly thinking about it over and over, waiting for you to show up.
I have just working out how to say it. I have one like Cherries question. How does like Cherries relate to the old Hashbang repo? Is there any kind of link there, or?
So it is that repo, right?
It is so, okay. So it's just like a rename.
It's a rename. It's a continuation of it.
Okay, because I remember like using Hashbang repo like for years. I mean, how long has it been out? I've been jailbreaking for a few years now, and that was one of the repos that I had for a long time.
Been around maybe 8 years, 2012.
I probably used it for the first time around like 14-ish, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so if you actually go into the repo, you can see a lot of my older packages that are like ancient history. But they're all still there. They never moved.
So it's like it fully is like just renamed Hashbang with new features.
Yeah. So the repo
and also a new like URL and like everything too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty much rebranded, but behind the scenes, it's a lot of the same stuff. And of course, I really wanted to take advantage of City. Of our repo being pretty. No, our repo was already pretty common. You know, if you Google, you know, 2-3 years ago, if you Googled repos for Cydia, somewhere in there.
That was one of them. That's one of them that I had.
Oh, crap, reminded me. I need to move TSS Saver off my repo onto Dynastic. there are so many people adding my broken repo now. And my repo...
Why don't you make it run on Dynastic?
Because I want to move the package over. Like, right now, it's just statically generated. So, like, my repo, if you add it in Cilio and open the packages on it, it actually crashes Cilio.
No, that's not good. That's unfortunate.
Sounds like a Cilio problem, too.
Yeah, Cilio should not be crashing on depictions or anything like that.
Yeah, but that is how bad my repo is.
I think that's Cilio's problem.
I looked at the Cloudflare stats for it. I looked at the Cloudflare stats for it last night. There's like 100,000 unique visitors on it as well.
Oh, wow.
I'm assuming that's per month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might not be. It might have been per week. I'll check. Hold on.
See, now I want to check my Cloudflare stats. I hate you.
What do you think I'm doing?
Nothing like usual.
Oh, true.
Oh, wow. God. Cloudflare is actually up today.
What? Oh. Okay, so in the last 24 hours, Packix's unique visitor count is 150,000. Past 30 days.
Need to find my two-factor authentication code. There we are.
You know, chose.io unique visitors 172,000.
Okay.
That's it?
I don't know how. It's higher. I have no idea.
Wait, hold on. No, you said yours is 72,000 in the past
172,000.
Oh, you know why? Because it was still a default in that older jailbreak when Coolstar got all pissy at me. And
what the fuck?
What?
440,000.
Is that 24 hours? 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'll send it in the group chat we were in. What the
Jamie,
actual
Jamie, just transfer to Dynastic.
Oh, wait, no. That's okay. That is last month. But wait, no,
that's
is it?
Pixel.uk.
Yeah, my repo's on that.
You have to remember how also that unique visitor account is getting calculated. Like, I don't know how to calculate that. I don't know how.
Thing is, that actually will be skewed by Cydia because it doesn't send the cookies back when it receives them. So it thinks it's a separate
session.
Okay,
but still, that is ridiculous. Like, for a repo that has one good package on it.
Well, it's pretty important.
Maybe it should go on an important repo like Packix.
Yeah, one that people actually use.
I think it'll work pretty well.
So, like, Cloudflare has like this like speed page feature, but every single time I've tried to load it, it's just Cloudflare says nope. So, in the past 30 days, Packix's unique visitor account is 2.5 million. Yeah. So that's not terrible. You guys still here?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So wait, well, I'm still curious. What is like the absolute worst package that you've had to review?
Had to review? Did I accept it or deny it?
No, either. Honestly, either of the two.
What's your definition of worst? Like, I've seen some pretty low quality. Like, I accepted them because there was technically nothing wrong with them, but I thought they were.
No, stupid. I mean worst is in like you open the review and you're like. Why would anybody submit this? How did this get in here?
Well, that's just
shocked.
Because I probably review over 30 packages a day.
I mean, there's not one that just stands out for being like so bad that it's like.
So probably the worst group, if I had someone submit separate packages for every country's flag as a Zeppelin logo.
Oh no. Wait, did you accept that?
I didn't. This was the same time in Florida. I screamed at him because I was leaving those all impending because I was going to message the guy to put them all in one package. The Laughing Quill accepted them all.
Wait, were you guys on vacation together?
Yes. He had.
Oh, that's cool.
For like 3 weeks. I believe he's coming again. Adam, did you book those flights too? For January and February?
We haven't booked anything yet.
I think you guys booked him.
Not yet.
Did Laughing Quill maybe just book his?
He's still planning.
You guys should pay to take me to Australia.
Actually, fun fact,
Do we want to do that?
Yeah, can I come around Christmas time?
You want a nice hot Christmas?
Christmas time.
I want to see what it's like in convict land, you know?
If you want to come to Australia on the cheap, go in like June, July. You can get flights like for like $1,200 US round trip.
Yeah, but right, I want to see convict land.
You know, winter actually isn't that cold here.
Coming in
Curb,
the summer,
have you ever been to
like
Pomland?
No.
See, I've never been to convict land.
I've suggested it to Andy,
like,
and
it's like 1900.
Yeah, you guys should come here.
Where,
it's cold.
Where
nah, there's not. There's nothing interesting
Jamie,
there.
Jamie, try Canada.
Oh, mate, I actually want to come to Canada.
Where is like Pomland?
Pom.
It's the UK.
UK. I'm going to London in November.
Oh, okay. I've got to get out of the country by November then.
Andy, send me your dates. I'm going to be there. We're going to make sure we make sure we corner him.
My birthday is
in
November.
We can't let him leave.
You know, my birthday
actually,
is
actually.
Wait, so they're coming to give me a birthday party? Clearly.
Well, wow. I'm going to London for my birthday, my 21st birthday. I'm going with my mom to see the Harry Potter sets.
Oh, I've been there. It's actually
right.
Really cool.
That's right.
It's in a place called Watford. think it's in Watford. Yeah, it's in Watford.
Yeah, so if I'm there and you guys want to meet up or something, that's totally fine.
It's Warner Bros. Studios, isn't it?
Yeah, Warner Bros. Studios.
Yeah, that's in Watford. I've been there.
So that's... See, the problem is, now that I have a real job, I can't just take off whenever I want.
I went there, in my first year of high school, I went there on a trip, you know. God, okay. Photos of my trip there are literally the first thing of my camera roll. Like, that gives you an idea of how old, like...
Little Jamie's first iPhone?
Yeah.
I think my first iPhone was in 7th grade.
Wait, do you want to see some terrible photos of Harry Potter World?
You lasted 4 years... Well, you lasted, like, years of high school without having your phone end up getting restored and losing all your pictures or anything? I had to happen, like, 6 times during high school because I did some stupid things.
Well, I always backed up my photos in some way.
I backed them up, but then, like, I wouldn't back up for, like, 6 months, so I would just lose 6 months of data.
Oh, Justin,
iCloud. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, throughout high school, I was, like, broke, so, like, I didn't have iCloud storage.
It's $1 a month.
That was...
Hey, you don't understand.
That high school very me expensive was really back then.
High school me was, like, I was very, very broke. Like, I had a paper route and my apps, but, like, my apps were, not financial successes, we'll say, at the time. And then Paperoot didn't make much money, and I was still paying off debt on buying a MacBook. So that was wild. So yeah, I could not afford that. I mean, I probably could get that, but
iCloud was very expensive back then. Anymore?
Yeah, it was, and I've always been like a hoarder with like content on my phone. So I would have like a 64 gig iPod or whatever, and it would be full, and I would want to move stuff to iCloud, but my iCloud would just be like full because it was only like 5 gigs. So yeah, it was not an ideal time.
Well, iPhone 4 had such a bad camera, like I can tell you that looking at these photos.
I mean, bad in comparison to like the 10s, but like it was good at the time though.
You don't want to see it. Like these photos, it's because it's really dark in there, you know, inside the studio. Like it's low light performance is terrible. Oh,
yeah. iPhone 4, low light, just forget it.
Not ideal.
Like you can barely make out this scene. Like it's just that blue.
Yeah, cameras have gotten a lot better.
They have. Yeah.
This is true.
Oh,
you guys remember Camera Tweak?
Wow, that was so long ago.
No, that was
a good one.
That was PoomSmart?
I have no idea.
He's still around.
That was like iOS 6. That was...
Yeah, iOS 6, 7. That was his...
So I have really been trying to get like all of the like old devs to like move to PackX. So Spring Tomorrow's was a big one. I want to get some others that I can't disclose at the moment. But yeah, because I kind of feel a sense of accomplishment when I get them to move off Cydia.
This is the beautiful Harry Potter world. I posted it in Talkboard discussion. Yeah.
Okay.
It's this is my great photo I took.
Wait, what's up? Is it in the chat?
Yeah, it's in Talkboard discussion.
Yeah, it's in the public one, not the.
Oh, okay. I was looking at the private one. I was like, I don't see it.
This is the iPhone 4 camera.
Oh my, that is kind of potato.
That is a potato.
That looks like it was shot on CCTV surveillance camera.
That's the best photo out of like...
That reminds me, I gotta figure out what I am going to have for lunch.
Oh my god, okay. This one's even worse. This is terrible. Actually, how did Apple get away selling this?
Because that was busy time.
When look your competitors that. Are like literally flip phones.
It's literally a potato quality.
That.
I know that scene from the movie, which is pretty sad.
That looks like it was shot on, you know, the adapter for Game Boy that lets you take pictures.
Wait, what?
Oh, no.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah,
oh, like I've got a photo of
camera attachment.
Photo of the purple bus in there as well.
It looks like it was shot on a house phone.
Oh, okay. The scenes are actually really cool, though. I remember, like, oh, and my friend has like a video of him because he took a flip camera and recorded the whole thing. Like, I have that video on my Mac.
Oh my god.
And you wonder
you
why
remember you guys remember the iPod Nano 5th generation that had a video camera that for some reason could not take stills?
Yeah.
One of my friends had those.
Sorry.
What's up?
Sorry, build Sakoda, whatever the hell you want to call it.
No, oh yeah, for like the original iPhone that kind of,
it was
like 15 FPS.
4 FPS.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was like so bad, but it was like, okay, here's why it's not a feature.
Oof.
Yeah. Oh, and I have
because
a
you literally cannot open and close the shutter that quickly.
Yeah, I've got a one now as well.
Under the bus in a private chat. And it's not nice.
He did.
He's gonna
but
be,
what
like,
I said is true.
No, it's not. Read what I just said. So, Laughing Cole's real name is I can't say, and we have a deal that every
don't put it out,
and it leaking his private info is like $1,000. And Adam's trying to say that I did when Adam just heard it wrong.
I actually have. Well, who has the recording? Let's ask who has the recording.
Well, they can look at it later and make sure it's not in there. Okay.
Wait, are you trying to avoid, like, having his real name in here?
Yes. Which
okay,
is why
okay.
I say Laughing Quill and not his real name.
I don't think you slipped up. You didn't slip up. I haven't heard it. Like, I don't know his name, but I haven't heard anybody else's name.
Adam's trying to.
It's so subtle you wouldn't have noticed.
Oh, did he actually say
it? I heard it.
I think I did,
but Adam claims I did, so we'll figure out later. Whatever.
Well, somebody will record.
Yeah, so back to next talking point, I guess.
Okay, but I have Harry Potter wand, and I'm gonna like cast a spell on
a Harry Potter talking point.
I actually have a wand, like I literally do. It costs.
So
like,
I have two now.
Yeah, but I got mine from the actual studio, so
I got mine from the theme park in Universal.
Oh, I actually want to go there so bad.
I've been there twice now, but it was really annoying. This time when I went, it was solely to go on the new Hagrid ride, and it was closed the day I went.
No.
Yup.
Oh, that sucks.
That was a waste of like $4,000.
See, I have no idea what you're talking about, but anyway.
All right, well, so on to the next question, I guess. So what would be like you guys' favorite tweak that isn't hosted on Packet or Cherries?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Mainly because they don't jailbreak.
Owns a repo.
I can go first.
Yeah, Adam, go first.
Ultrasound by Aiden.
I agree.
I think he did it better than Apple did. I upgraded my phone to iOS 13, and I really don't like it.
Yeah, no, that had to be like a really lazy application by Apple.
But the one thing I think is pretty neat is if you flick the mute switch, it actually comes up as silent mode on, comes down like a pencil charging indicator. But otherwise,
has anyone made that into a tweak yet?
And you know how good ultrasound is
right
now,
actually.
Like you know how good it already is. Before he before he made it paid, he wanted to add this feature. So do you know how AirPlay 2, you can control the volumes of other devices?
Yeah.
Like in control center?
Yes.
He wanted to add separate like sliders for those devices when you pulled up ultrasound.
I want it to be that I press the volume key and it comes up with like a whole mixer board on my
screen. But you could customize which one showed up and stuff.
I'll be quite honest, I have used HomePods and I wasn't a fan of audio.
Yeah, but how cool would that
be? He bought two HomePods and returned them. And a MacBook Pro.
Oof.
And another MacBook Pro.
And then I bought two more. MacBook Pro,
really?
Not HomePods.
I have a HomePod.
Yeah, right.
That's a lot of MacBooks.
Well, I'm going to return the 13-inch because I got a 13-inch, but for some reason it can't output full resolution to my 49-inch monitor. So
for some reason. You say it's for some reason. Maybe it's because your monitor is the widest freaking monitor in the world.
Okay, but here's the thing. My XPS 13 with the exact same graphics chip can do it fine. So it's a software limitation. And there's a 30-page Apple support article that's been going on for like 2 years. They still haven't fixed it.
Oh, really?
Oof.
That's bullshit. Yep.
No, so that's where I'm getting like, they're not going to fix it.
That DisplayPort stuff is really iffy on macOS, honestly.
Well, yeah, I use USB-C to DisplayPort, so.
Yeah.
That's like one of the only connections where I can get the bandwidth.
Yeah, there is no way you're going to get it on any other connector.
I can get it with Windows HDMI 2.0, so.
Yeah. Well, HDMI is actually can be used as DisplayPort as well.
Yeah.
So it could actually be running as DisplayPort.
What's really stupid is if you boot Windows on the laptop, you can get the full resolution.
That's amazing. But you still don't get Retina resolution in Windows on a MacBook, do you? No, I'm thinking of an iMac. You can actually
maybe.
You can't actually get the native 5K resolution on an iMac with Windows.
So back to favorite tweak not on. That's hard because the tweaks I really wanted, I got them on backing. Like Boxy Advance, Spring Tomize. I guess maybe some of Carlos Perez's CP Digital Darkroom. Hi MiX, I really liked those tweaks. But he just doesn't sell them anymore. I'm sure if he did, he would put them on Packer. Because he has other free tweaks of his on. He sort of moved away from the JavaScript scene. He does app story stuff now. He has an app called Songshift that everyone should go check out. It's really awesome.
Songshift is amazing. Just saying. It plug is. In Songshift. Download it right now. You're listening to this? Download it right now.
it's also really fast now.
Wait, hold on. Songshift? Is that the playlist converter?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No way. No, he made that?
Yep. Him and
Ben. Oh, I actually have that. I bought it. Like, I use it. That's actually so funny. I use that when I switch from Spotify to Apple Music.
Since they released this feature publicly now,
I was trying to think. I know, like, I've heard of this before. I know this app name. And then I realized that's the playlist converter.
They have a feature. They have a new paid feature that will do the shifts in the cloud to make.
Well, I bought the full version, like the there's an in-app purchase or whatever it was. I bought that because I wanted the. I don't remember what feature it was, but I bought it. And
I'm pretty sure you get that now. For now,
that's actually great. Like I mean, I'm not planning to switch platforms again, but if I do, amazing.
I mean, even if you just want to transfer like Spotify's top 50 to like.
Oh, like I deleted the Spotify app off of like everything because Apple Music game.
I love Apple Music so much better than Spotify. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm in Apple Music.
I have like a couple problems with it, but it's mostly just feature requests. But
yeah, like the ability to delete a song from a playlist.
Or how about the ability to not have all of your music deleted?
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Hey, Siri, what's the best repo?
What's up?
Wait, what? Personal requests are enabled?
Why'd it say Patrick?
Yeah.
That would be really funny. Actually, I'm curious. Is there a Packix Wikipedia page?
We're not that important.
No, I'm going to search Wikipedia for Packix and see if
Even on the iOS jailbreak.
There's a page for Cilio.
The iOS jailbreak Wikipedia page is pretty poor already, so.
There is no mention of PACX anywhere on Wikipedia.
Hey Siri, what's the best dynasty?
That's completely false. Oh no, I'm thinking of the iPhone wiki. Damn it.
The iOS jailbreaking Wikipedia page could use some work.
Well, it was usually Britta that maintained that, but she doesn't do that.
What's the best repo?
No, Britta's been gone for a while, hasn't she?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah, she was really good at maintaining all those. Dynastic.
Obvious.
You clearly are using one of those tweaks that is on a PACX to do that.
He's actually using shortcuts from the Apple app.
Did you not hear it said, your shortcut says...
I didn't hear the first part.
Yeah, actually, no, it cut out for me at that point, so I didn't hear that either.
Oh, right.
You know, there actually is a way to skip that.
Wait, how? Says,
but I'm not going to tell you.
No, please.
It's a bit obvious. You'll probably figure it out.
No, you
now
better
I've told you. It's possible. You can.
Can Google it.
You don't have to Google it. You can just look.
Wait. So, how did you guys even get into jailbreaking in the first place? Like,
so there was a kid in seventh grade, Amadeus, and he gave me an old iPod 2G, and that's how I got into jailbreaking. Because this was like when like the iPod 2G was old. So
okay. So just to add some more features.
Well, I installed what's the special IPSW that would like change the entire iOS?
Oh, White Door.
Yeah, White Door.
Yes.
I actually was asked by White Door at some point to do the control, redo the control center for the upcoming version, but I declined because it was too much work. But yeah.
Is White Door still a thing? Like, do they make ones for like the iPhone 5 or whatever to make it act like iOS 12 or something?
Don't know. This was when they were doing an iOS 9 or 10 port, I was asked to.
Let's find out.
I have to say, like, it gets really complicated to do this sort of thing. Like, it is just a bunch of tweaks.
But I'm also really impressed with how, like, fluid their stuff is.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good, but I, like, as time went on,
exactly,
like, iOS just changed so much.
Wait, Curb, I don't, how can you stop it saying shortcut says? I don't get that.
Oh, no.
Adam is just going to torment you with this for the rest of your life now.
Like, that seems like a bit of a security issue anyway.
What?
If apps can pretend to be Siri.
Well, they already can.
No, because it says the app name says.
No, you don't have to. There's the
maybe not able
speech
to
override
that.
Oh, but that's not really Siri.
Yeah, but it's the voice. You can sort of react to a Siri request, I suppose.
You could write a jailbreak tweak to, do that.
True.
Then just use your private iOS 13 jailbreak that we all know that you have. To a
I wish.
I think the next jailbreak is going to come out in like 4 to 5 months. Don't quote me on that, anyone. Stop it. No, when ETA, son, in 4 to 5 months. Please, no.
When ETA?
So are you providing the pack bypass?
Yeah, I'm just going to pull that out of one of my old laptops. It's just been sitting around, just waiting.
Yeah, he's just got too many laptops now. Like, he's got his iPad, he's got his MacBook, he's got his other MacBook.
I need to cut down on my laptops, yeah.
Oh, shit.
That r/new sentences.
Well, here's my problem. Like, I'll, like, go to work for, like, get to push the latest package code to GitHub, and then, like, want to work on package after work at, like, work, and I won't be able to because I didn't push it, so then I'll have to go home for it. Happened to me so many times.
Well, I mean, your work laptop is your work laptop, but bring your personal laptop with you.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Also,
just do it on your laptop.
You'd always do it.
So
nah,
I gotta
be the careful about that.
Adam's a really he gets mad at me when I do that, even though I do it anyway sometimes. But so the problem with that is then I gotta boot into macOS on my work laptop. And then I haven't fully gotten everything working on my work laptop for macOS. I actually need to buy a Chinese Wi-Fi card or something, but I can't navigate the site, so it's really terrible. I really want to buy that.
I know which one you have to buy.
No, it's like the special one. Like you gotta do like the cables to Apple's whatever. I'll give you the link later.
Get that on eBay.
I'll give you the link later, and maybe you can. Because you need like a custom chip that someone's selling.
Really?
Yeah, specifically for the ThinkPad stuff. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
oh,
I'll send
crazy.
You the link later to the GitHub, and you can maybe you can figure it out and do it for me.
Just use Ethernet.
I do use Ethernet at a at home, but I want to have the versatility of I don't have Ethernet. Like
it's amazing technology called wireless.
My internet speed at work wired is almost a gigabit, so it's really nice. But at home, I only get 100 down, 5 up, which is absolutely terrible in terms of download and upload. Did I cut out?
So should we look at the community questions? I mean, there's only one though. I'll think of some. So the first community question is, what do you believe will happen with the future of jailbreaking as the new A13 chip may have additional hardware security?
I think same thing as A12 will eventually overcome it. This is saying, will Apple ever create something where you can't hack it at all? And the answer to that is no. Clear enough.
I watched a really good Ian Beer talk on that. He was talking about how, mitigations, whilst they fix, the exploitation of the bugs, for example, they still exist. Because, how Apple writes code is, fundamentally unsafe. And, mitigations really are just, it's putting, Band-Aid over, a wider set of problems. And actually,
that's
one of my favorite.
That's sort of what PAC was, really. A big Band-Aid.
It's a good idea, though. It's better to actually solve a problem on a huge scale rather than just fix them one by one.
But I saw a blog post yesterday as well, actually. I'll post it in discussion, but it's about the percentage of CVEs that have been fixed. How many of those are memory corruption? Let me find it. Because it's something 86% of all CVEs Apple fixed in the last year were memory corruption bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about how switching from a fundamentally unsafe language like C or C++ to something like Rust, where you can't do that, that could actually solve so many problems.
Yeah, but rewriting iOS and Rust, please.
Yeah, but they're not. Happen. But they're not talking
pretty safe though.
Yeah, it is. But
they're they're working on using more Swift.
Yeah, but it's for the kernel, isn't it? And do they want to use Swift in the kernel?
Do they? I don't know.
No, probably not.
Dylib fatal error.
I have considered writing parts of package in Rust just for the speed, but I never got it.
Parts of Dynastic are actually in Rust. Dynastic Repo has a major Rust component to it.
Because Rust is really fast. That's great.
Oh, yeah, we love Rust. I can't code it, but I love it.
Well, I'm going to learn Rust too, yeah. But that's not a big issue. It's just, after you learn so many languages, it's just a different syntax mostly.
But, because
everything's a dialect of C nowadays.
And actually, 13, I'm not sure what hardware security mitigations that I have anyway. Because, there's this thing called memory tagging, which is going to be quite an effective mitigation. But we don't think that's going to exist for iOS 13.
They would have introduced it already.
The thing is, we've said every year, oh wow, Apple's introduced X, jailbreaking is dead, and then a jailbreak comes out.
If you think about it, every hardware mitigation they introduce is like an extension of some software mitigation. So like iOS 9 had kernel patch protection, and then the iPhone 7 included KTRR. And then after that, it was PAC, which we knew like was gonna happen because of because ARM had said it anyway, didn't they? That's been a thing for ages. Like, so when that came into ARM spec, they added that, and then so like this year, I think they're gonna do something in the user lands because I don't think they're gonna do memory tagging this year because I think it's like that's at least another year out, right?
So we have one more year of profits. Okay.
Memory tagging it will be effective when they introduce that. Like, it will make jailbreaking significantly harder.
I do have to say, though, it seems like they've really stepped up their game lately. At least, if one of my most favorite things ever is Stefan Esser's talk, A Study in Fail, where he looks
my
at the...
My coworker apparently just got a cat, and it's like the happiest I've ever seen him. So sad.
You know what? Cats are lit.
I personally
dogs are better.
Yeah, dogs are better.
Unbelievable! You're all terrible.
Wow.
My cat's such a fat ass.
But yeah, I do think
it's his friend's cat.
Like the curb talk was the talk curb was on about then, like that, yeah. You don't see Apple doing that anymore.
Yeah, but it's just amazing. Like those were some of the best years the jailbreak community had, and it was because Apple never fixed this one bug, one or two bugs properly, and it was pretty much one thing that was it was a feature, but technically a bug because it shouldn't have been there. That was central to all of them working.
I love the thing you're about to discuss.
Are you talking about the DLD insert libraries thing?
No, I bet he's talking about allow dylibs to override share cache.
That's the thing I'm talking about.
It seems so crazy because they added so many mitigations and they still left this one thing in there that just kills all of it. It's like, what was the point?
No, I want it back. Bring it back. Yes, it was a great
please,
feature.
Apple,
bring it back. I miss launchd.conf. That was amazing.
I miss JSC, but like the binary.
Oh, that was great too. I honestly never would have thought of using that to run a JavaScript exploit on every boot. Though that is pretty smart.
Genius, isn't it? Like,
wow. See, I think why we don't see so much as web jailbreak exploits anymore is because how much they can hurt regular users as well.
Well, I think it's just because WebKit has gotten a lot better, like in terms of security recently. Like, you don't see dumb bugs anymore. Like, most of the bugs now where people get code execution from WebKit, it's actually in the JavaScript core.
Best things they've done is WebKit 2, which made it multi-process. And that started with iOS 6. And you can tell the difference. Like, it works a lot better, for one. And crashes don't kill the whole freaking browser.
They just killed one tab. Caught happened, caught.
Did your mic just go potato?
Mine?
Yeah.
Can you still hear me?
Oh, no, you're good now. You're good.
Wait, are you using Bluetooth headphones or something?
I'm using my AirPods, yeah.
Yeah, so what? Yeah, that's a bug. I notice that all the time. It switches. Do you know when you have, a phone call?
I think it's a feature at this point.
Oh, it's fucking shit, though. It annoys me so much. like your like AirPods just randomly switch over to phone call quality.
If you go to if you pair them with a Mac and then you go to sound input, the input preferences, it automatically goes into that mode. It is awful.
Yeah, if you try to use and the mic, all of the audio coming from your Mac to your, I have Power Beats, but coming to your Bluetooth headphones, just it turns into potato quality immediately. Like you have to use the mic separately from the headphones for Power Beats anyway. It's weird.
I actually find the AirPods have one of the best mics for our
wireless. They headphones. Do.
Yeah,
but it's ruined like by like some shitty implementation detail.
I'm currently using the built-in mic on my MacBook. I'm using the Power Beats for audio because I can't use them at the same time or else it's going to sound like I'm talking like through like an overseas telephone. Like,
I mean, you technically are.
Talking through a toilet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like you know those shadowing down a toilet?
You know when you're a kid and you put like two cans with strings on the end of it? Like,
mm-hmm.
No, that would require someone else to hold the other end.
Oof, that's a lot of damage. r/ That's unfortunate.
So,
well, you've got two hands, right?
Oof, wow, you have to talk to your DIY phone.
I actually wanted to make my own phone once, you know.
Like an actual phone?
Yeah, like hardware and all. I wanted to like use a Raspberry Pi and just build my own phone.
Oh, I see. That actually
kind of
cool.
Oh, a Raspberry Pi and a slim case. With like you can actually desolder the Ethernet USB port. And it's actually pretty slim. That Raspberry Pi, the regular Raspberry Pi.
You could use a Pi Zero for it anyway.
Yeah. Wouldn't be as fast as an iPhone, but, you know.
Yeah, but it would be, that's such a cool idea. And I'd love to write the whole kernel and everything for it from scratch.
Oh, yeah, I think you were talking about that, like, Jimmy.
Well, I wanted to do a desktop operating system. Like, I wanted to write the kernel and OS, like, completely from scratch a few months ago.
Isn't that what Philip Tennant did with Axel?
Yeah, I heard of Axel, but I've never really looked at it, so...
Axel's really cool. Rogue.
But
wait,
yeah,
did you say you were going to build like an ARM-based...
But yeah, I'd actually love to do, like... I don't think it would be ARM-based in the end, though, because I don't have any of, like, a Pi, so...
True.
You just buy some.
I could. Yeah, but I don't think I, like... Where do you even start with that?
It's a good question that I don't have the answer to.
I have no idea.
Like, seriously, where do you start writing the kernel, like?
Better open some data sheets. You've got, like, a whole 1,000 years to to read it.
Exactly.
And understand how things work.
Okay,
wait,
and
Eddie, you recently graduated from university, right? Did I disconnect?
Just edit
now.
No,
I can hear you.
Okay, no, because for a second my Wi-Fi just decided to give up. But wait, Andy, you recently graduated from university, right?
No, I dropped out.
Oh, I wish. Because my next question, my follow-up question was going to be like, did you find that like it was worth it?
Well, the answer is going to be no because I dropped out.
Yeah,
I got a good job in Varnish. I'm running taxes.
Yeah,
why do I need
absolutely.
To? Why do I need to go to? Why am I going to pay for?
I agree, man. I agree. Because what were you in, like second, third year?
I just finished my second year, though I didn't do so well in my second year. So.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm currently going into second year, and like I'm dreading next. Actually,
yeah.
The semester after that, but...
Let me put it this way. UNH hadn't even taught the kids how to use Git yet.
Oh, what?
No.
They taught us that, like, the first day. Like, yeah, we had an entire class. We had a class that was basically was it had two parts of it, and it was first like it was a co-op class, so like how to get an internship, interviews, this blah blah blah, and then the other half of the class was basic skills, so like Git and web development, like just HTML, CSS, whatever.
Oh
just
my god, I could use Git when I was 12. Like, yeah, I mean, do that when I was 12.
To be honest, like I
how do you
sort of learn like the basic Git when I was young, but then I was like, how about we use like the like, you know, the desktop app, because it was easier, so I was using that for a while.
Yeah,
but now I'm back to...
Okay, by 14, I didn't even use... I used Git CLI. Like, I literally didn't even need the desktop.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because, like, for my programming...
I use Git
like, 12. I'm in software engineering at U Ottawa, and, like, one of the things for us is that, like, you don't have to know how to code to come to our program. So, like, people show up and they have no idea how to code, so like, they give you, like, a brief run-through on how to use Git and how to write HTML and CSS so that they're not completely lost for internships.
I'd cry.
Honestly, it was an easy class. It was an easy A+, so I wasn't complaining. But and it was actually pretty interesting, like, anyway, because, like, they give you a somewhat, like, a certain level of freedom. So even if, like, the content that they want you to do is too easy, you can always challenge yourself. Not a problem.
Yeah. You know, my class was full of people that weren't really interested in computer science, or they were.
Oh, that's
fine. Really
shame.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the people in my class are each paying like $6,000 a semester to go there, so I'd hope they're interested. But
that's low. That is low.
Well, I'm in Canada, so we have like cheap tuition.
Yeah,
so
the U.S. doesn't have that.
Yeah, y'all get to pay like what $20,000 a year? Like,
40 to 50.
It's a jerk.
Like, whack.
Well,
but yeah, I mean,
I had a scholarship, so like I was only paying 20 to 38. But
wow,
no scholarship. Yeah. It could be like 40 to 50 a year.
That's terrible. Like, engineering is one of the more expensive ones, and like even like engineering at my school is only like 11,000 a year. Canadian, 11,000 Canadian.
I'm pretty sure that's for any class. I mean, any major at UNH that are pricey.
Oof. Yeah, no, for other ones, like, you can get down to, like, I think, like, 3,000 a semester, depending on what program you're in.
So here, you have, like...
That one, like, major that no one uses.
So here,
I think it's, like, hang on. I can't bother to check, but, like, it's not too bad. Canadian tuition is all right for the most part.
My parents still want me to go back and finish colleges.
it's stressful, man.
Wait, so here anyway, have like this type of controlled assessment thing, right? Where you do a programming project and you're meant to write like 150 plus pages over like the course of a year and like documenting like all the code you've done, like the testing and all of this shit. And I pretty much did my whole classes. Like, I did like everyone's apart from the documentation for it. So, like, I'd get paid to write the program for them, and then they'd, like, have to write the documentation, and they'd be like, wait, what errors did you have, or how did you test it? And I'm like,
oh, that's
you can write that yourself, mate.
Just come up with something. Wait, did people pay you to do that, or?
Yeah, I didn't get paid a lot for it, though.
Hey, oh, didn't? That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It wasn't, it didn't
prices,
pay for
man.
Money.
Gotta chase that bread, you know what I'm saying?
Because I'd done mine in, like, 5 lessons, and that was, like, so... For the rest of the year, I was writing other people's for them.
That's funny.
I was having a chat with my coworkers a couple of days ago. Well, basically, just they. We pretty much came to the conclusion that if I could do my entire degree, like all at once, I could probably do it in like a couple of weeks.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I wish, like, my program anyway at my school, like, they make us take a bunch of like unrelated classes.
Yeah.
Like, I had to take physics 2 second semester first year, and, like, that was, like, waves and oscillations and particle physics and quantum physics.
That's
like,
easy.
When am I ever going to use any of this? Never.
Waves is easy, man.
I am not a fan of oscillating
things.
Anything that repeats, I don't.
History class?
We don't have to take history, because the reason we have to take physics is because, like, Professional Engineers of Ontario, whatever, requires it for accreditation. So we don't have to take any really, really useless classes. It's mostly just like the useless ones that other engineers have to take.
No, yeah,
so, like, I mean, if you're in mechanical engineering, then okay. But like in software, it makes no sense really.
Like I had to take intro to engineering, which was like building bridges and shit.
Yeah, like what? Like I don't have to do that one, but
that's
not
cool
next
though.
Semester,
like building
bridges
is awesome.
In two semesters, I have a class called engineering mechanics, and it's like it's physics again, but it's the same physics that I did in first semester, but now it's in 3D. Wow! So I'm spending $1,200 to learn about 3D mechanics. Like okay.
I mean, building bridges is cool though. Like the architecture.
Yeah, but it has like awesome. you're paying to go through this degree.
It's useless though.
And it's like they're making you do something okay. That has nothing to do with your degree.
Not gonna lie, I'd find it interesting for like the first few weeks, and then I'd be like, okay, fuck.
It's interesting until you have to study for a midterm.
Exactly. That's what I was
like. They're like, oh, you have a midterm on. Oh, actually, you know what the worst? Because they do. You have a midterm on Sunday and it's worth like 25% of your, and it's a Sunday. So now you're in there on a weekend. Like, no, no.
Well, what I did for the first year of college was I scheduled all of my classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So every other day I was free.
Oh, see, that's the thing. That is not a thing for me. Cause like I have like 30 hours or 30 some hours of class per week. It's impossible to fit it all into 2 days for me. Like I
hours?
Yeah,
wow.
Something like that. Yeah, actually, let me check my schedule. What's up?
How many classes are you taking?
Six. No, five.
That shouldn't be 30 hours because each class is usually an hour and a
You'd
half.
You'd expect. I'm pulling up my schedule. I'm pulling up next month right now, and I will count them right here because it's a lot.
See, I'm so, thankfully like I'm spared from this for a year at least, like maybe a year.
Yeah,
and a bit.
Lucky.
Oh, so, are you taking like a gap year?
Me?
Yeah, see,
no.
I might. So,
hey,
thing that people do in the U.S. So I'm taking my gap year now because I dropped out of college.
Ah, that's one way of thinking about it.
Is that
okay? Hold up.
It's a permanent
so.
Gap.
Gap
on,
life.
I'm
pulling
up
my
schedule.
Gap life.
But,
I mean,
gap
oh, right,
that
just is life.
I mean, I don't want to be arrogant or anything, but I feel like I could do it now anyway. Like, what are they going to teach me now? Like, I don't know.
That
all right, hold on. I pulled up my schedule. So I have 3 hours on Monday, and then I have, that's 10.5 hours on, okay, 10.5 hours on Tuesday, I think. And then only an hour and a half on Wednesday. And then 3 hours on Thursday. And then I have another 7.5 hours on Friday.
What?
So anyway, I end up with, this is 25.5 here. But in first year I had more because in second year you had less of like discussion groups and whatever.
Okay, anyway, so, I should ask the other community question.
Okay, oh yeah, go for it.
Okay, do you prefer semi-untethered or jailbreaks over untethered one?
Wait, hold on. Semi-tethered or untethered?
Untethered.
It's in the app. The app jailbreak.
I prefer untethered. Duh. But there are benefits of semi-tethered, like making it harder to boot loop your device.
Yeah, that's true. I boot looped my iPod 5 once, so. And it was untethered.
I actually never, like boot looped or bricked any of my devices, but
lucky.
Actually, I recently got a Wii U, and one of the first things I did when I got it was install Homebrew, and they have like the equivalent of an untether, where it just like it runs the exploit on boot, right? And one of the things they said is that there's like a non-negligible chance of breaking your console. So now I have when I boot up, I have to run the exploit through the app just like you do with like the current jailbreak app. So I essentially have a semi-untethered jailbreak on my Wii U.
Anyway,
you know what?
We've got to wrap up soon because the person doing the recording has to go.
Okay. So any last community questions that we need to answer?
No, that one was the last one. So anything you want to say before we end?
Adam is a lazy piece of crap 95% of the time.
That's unfortunate.
I fucking hate
it. Yeah, I have a comment actually. Dynastic is better than Pakix. And with that, thank you for listening to.